Hello, everybody. My name is Blake Switzer. I'm the lead pastor here, and so glad to have you with us this evening. As we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate light breaking into the darkness. But have you ever been in absolute darkness? You know, the kind where you can't see your hand in front of your face, the kind of darkness that you can feel, the kind of darkness that grips your soul. Darkness is more than just the absence of light. Darkness can come in the form of things that we go through in our lives. It could be the loss of a job. It could be a financial crisis. It could be a spouse saying, I'm done, I want a divorce. It could be a health diagnosis. It could be the inability to have children, or maybe going through a miscarriage. A time of darkness could be brought on by anxiety that feels crippling. It could be brought on by depression that might lead you to question, do I even want to keep going? I mean, darkness comes in a lot of different forms. But tonight I want us to consider this question, what if we were not meant to walk in darkness? And what if the good news of Christmas is that we don't have to? What if Christmas is all about light coming not in just into the world, but into our souls as well? And what if you walked out these doors tonight knowing the light, having a relationship with Christ for the very first time? I want to read some verses from the scripture that kind of go along with what we just read a moment ago as we lit the Advent candle. We were in John chapter 1, but talking about the light. But I want to back up just a little bit. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to take a little closer look at a few of these verses. I mean, it says, right off the bat, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And it speaks to the fact that Jesus is the Word. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the Word here. That Jesus has always existed as God from the very, very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And not only was the Word with God, it says the Word was God. That Jesus is and always has been God. God has always existed as a Trinity, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, but in three unique persons. And Jesus is one of those, and Jesus is not part of the created order. In fact, it says that everything was created by Him and for Him. Jesus is the one who created all that we see, and yet at the same time, it says the light came into the darkness. I think we have to start there with just an understanding of the reality that we live in a dark world. We do. What I mean by that is that we live in a world that is not as God intended it to be. We live in a world that's broken. And all you have to do is go back to the beginning and you see what God originally intended. When He created Adam and Eve and there's the Garden of Eden and everything is beautiful and there's unbroken fellowship with God. But then that changes. Why did it change? It changed because God's created beings, Adam and Eve, because they rebelled against Him. It's what we might call sin. Sin is anything we say, do, or think that is not what God desires. It's when we say, I'm going to choose my way rather than God's way. And that's what happened. Now, before that, God gave incredible freedom to Adam and Eve. And in fact, there were beautiful trees all throughout the garden, and they all bore all kinds of wonderful fruit, and it says it was pleasing to the eye and that they could eat from it. God had one instruction, and that was, you cannot eat from this one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I need you to leave that one alone, but all the rest of them, help yourself. It's kind of like seeing a sign. Speaking of a sign, right? It's kind of like seeing a sign that says wet paint. What do you want to do when you see a wet paint sign? And it says, do not touch, right? You want to touch it to find out, is it really wet? Especially if it says, do not touch. There's just something in us that does not want to be told what we can't do, right? And Satan knew that better than anyone, and he used that to his advantage, and he tempted Adam and Eve and said, God's just trying to keep this from you. God knows that if you eat from that fruit, you'll become like him. And they give in to the temptation and they rebel against God. They sin, and sin becomes part of the human experience from that point forward. The result of that is that they were put out of the garden. There was a break in that wonderful fellowship that they had with God. That is now broken because of sin, and that continues to be the case even to this day. And every single human being from that point forward, with one exception, that's Jesus, but every other person has been born with a sinful nature, meaning that we're born with this desire that says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Don't tell me what I can't do. And we choose our own way rather than God's way. And as a result, we're separated from God. We live in a world of darkness, but this passage also reminds us of the power of Jesus' light, because it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I love that. You know what that's saying? It's saying that when light and darkness collide, light always wins. It's true, right? Anytime light and darkness collide, light always wins. I'm afraid so many of us have just gotten accustomed to living in darkness. You know, we just kind of think that's how, that becomes normal, and we adapt to it, we adjust to it. It's kind of like if you walk into a dark room. If you've been outside in the light and you walk into a dark room, at first you can't see, right? But then your pupils begin to dilate and you begin to adjust to whatever small amount of light is in there, and suddenly you get to where you can function pretty well in the darkness because you get used to it. Well, I think sometimes we just start thinking, well, this is just the way it is, but it doesn't have to be that way. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus, in fact, conquered darkness, but he didn't do it the way anybody expected. He didn't force darkness into submission. In fact, Jesus submitted himself to the forces of darkness. He allowed himself to be crucified. He gave up his life for us. Nobody took it from him, but he willingly gave it. And he did that because he loves us so much, because he wants us to have the opportunity to be pulled out of darkness and into the light. When Jesus died on the cross, he was giving himself as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. I said a moment ago, when Adam and Eve sinned, that separation happened, that sin separates us from God, and that's been the case ever since. We needed some way for God to initiate us being brought back into relationship with him. In the Old Testament, that was through a system of sacrifices and blood that was shed from animals. But Jesus became that for us. He became our sacrifice. He died in our place. That's how light conquered the darkness. But we still have to respond. And you know, there are two ways that you can respond to light. If you're in the darkness, one of them is to hide from it. I mean, those that don't want to be seen hide from the light, right? If you're a burglar trying to break into somebody's house in the middle of the night, you do everything you can to avoid the light. If you're a child playing hide and seek at night, you don't want to be found. You do everything you can to avoid the light, right? Some of us avoid the light thinking, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be exposed. And maybe that's because we're embarrassed or we're ashamed, or there are things in our present or in our past that we're like, I don't want anybody to see that. I don't want that to be brought out. And I just want to encourage you with this tonight. You don't have to hide from the light. You don't have to be ashamed of those things. Listen, we're all messed up. We are. We're all broken people. That's why Jesus came. He came to give himself as a sacrifice for us because we are all messed up. But Jesus isn't, and Jesus is the one who can offer forgiveness to us. So we really don't have to hide from him anymore. We just have to realize that there's nothing that we could ever do to make ourselves right with God. We have to depend on what he has done. Those who don't want to be seen avoid the light, but those who recognize their need for help move toward the light. I want you to imagine that you're in the mountains, you're hiking by yourself, and you get disoriented, you get lost, and you're still there on the mountain when darkness begins to settle in, and Next thing you know, it's getting really dark. You can't see anything around you. You're hearing the howls of wild animals all around you. Your mind starts playing tricks on you, and you feel like you're seeing this little red dots, pairs of dots, eyeballs all over the place staring at you. You're getting really freaked out. Temperature begins to get really cold. I mean, what are you going to do in that situation? You're probably going to find some place to hunker down, and you're going to pray for light. And you're going to eagerly anticipate the coming of the light. But what if in the middle of the darkness, before the break of dawn, you see a beam of light off in the distance? Someone has found out about your situation and they've come to rescue you. And as that light gets closer, everything in you wants to move toward the light. You see, when you know you need help, you don't hide from the light, you move toward it. I wonder if there are any of us tonight that are tired of being in the darkness and you just want to be found. You don't want to hide anymore, but you want to know the light that Christ brings and offers to each of us. If that's the case for you, I want to give you an invitation tonight. I want to invite you to pray a prayer of faith saying, Jesus, I'm tired of being in the dark, and I want to give my heart to you. I want to give my life to you. You know, there's no magic words that we say. It's a condition of the heart. God knows our heart. But the Bible tells us that if we confess Christ as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved or we'll be rescued. Anybody want to do that? If so, I just want you to pray with me. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. If your desire tonight is to turn away from your sin and say, Jesus, I'm giving my heart to you, then I just want you to pray a prayer or something like this. I'll just pause after each phrase and you can pray this back to God if this is the prayer of your heart. God, right now, I thank you for loving me. I confess that I'm sinful and I've been living in the dark. But God, I want to be found. I believe that's why Jesus came. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and rose again on the third day. Right now, I turn away from my own way and I put my trust in you completely. Jesus, I give my heart to you right now. Thank you for forgiving me and bringing me into your family. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed a prayer like that, it would mean the world to me if you would let us know. You can grab one of us afterward and tell us, or you can use the Connect card that we talked about earlier. On the back of that card is a little box that you can check that says, Trusting in Christ as Savior. If you would trust us with that information, I promise you we're not going to hound you. We just would like to come alongside you and encourage you, see how we can help you take those next steps. And if you want to indicate that by checking the box on that card, you can drop it in the offering boxes. They're mounted on both sides of the exit doors as you go, and so you can just drop it in there. And we'd love to get in touch with you. For some, maybe you're experiencing the peace of Christ for the very first time today, and that's exciting. But others in the room, you've had a relationship with Christ for a long time. Our prayer is still for you, for every single one of us, that we know and experience the peace of God in a unique way. I'm not sure if anybody's ever heard, it's a true story of the Christmas Truce, 1914. During World War I, on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1914, the English and the Germans were on opposite sides in their trenches, and they were in the midst of an ongoing battle. And it was Christmas Eve when one of the soldiers described what was going on like this. It was an English machine gunner by the name of Bruce Bairnsfather. And listen to what he said. He said, here I was in this horrible cavity, miles and miles from home, cold, wet through, and covered with mud. There didn't seem the slightest chance of leaving except in an ambulance. And then about 10 p.m. on that Christmas Eve, they heard singing coming from the German side. he didn't understand the lyrics that they were singing. He didn't know German, but he recognized the tune. They were singing Silent Night. So some of the English soldiers began to sing back. They all started singing Silent Night back to them. And the next thing you know, soldiers began to cautiously come up out of the bunkers and make their way toward no man's land in the middle of the battlefield. They set their arms aside. They reached their hands out. They began shaking hands and introducing themselves to the enemy. They took out pictures. They showed pictures of family. They even exchanged gifts. There was a soccer game that broke out, like 200 of them playing soccer together. It was an amazing picture of the peace that Christmas brings. And it started with a song that we're about to sing right now, actually. So I want to invite our ushers to come forward and prepare to take the light of Christ. And they're going to spread this light throughout this worship center. And as they do so, let this be a reminder of the peace that God wants to bring to every one of us.